6. I like to be in the house of God when the Spirit of God moves.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading tonight, verse number 10. As Timothy writes, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted, after they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a profession before many witnesses. Flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you, God, for what we've already felt in our song service. When your people are in one mind and one accord, you move rapidly. It doesn't take all night for your Spirit to begin to move. Thank you, Lord, tonight for touching our hearts and our minds. Allow the Holy Ghost to speak to us tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for keeping me in your prayers. Tonight I want to preach to you a message titled, "It's Time to Remain Focused." It's time to remain focused. I'm going to begin by saying, let's face it, our world is full of distractions. From the checkout counters filled with magazines to the commercials on televisions, radios, to the billboards along the highway, no matter where you go nor what position in this life that you take, one way or another, you are going to be confronted by signs, by advertising venues, or you're going to be accosted by the media, which includes even the daily newspapers, as together all of them are what seek to get your attention and your mind set upon everything other than that which you should be focused on, and that being none other than the coming of the day wherein Jesus Christ is going to return for we, his bride. We live in a world of technology. We live in a world where all kinds of social media programs are out there, and they'll send you, I don't even really know what one is, but I've heard it said so many times, they'll send you a meme, they'll send you a text, they'll send you a notification, they'll send you something to get your attention. Hey, over here, I want you to come over here. I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to be focused on this. I want you to look my way. Now, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." In verse 7 and 8 of the same chapter of the book of Matthew 24, Jesus goes on to say, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." It's been going on for years, but it's just begun. Hey, can I get your attention? I want you to talk over here. No, I want you to over here. Can I get you to look this way? Can I get you to get off course and come over here and pay attention? I'm talking to you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. No, look at this. Click on that feed and click on that and go check out this article and that article and just pay attention to what's going around. Sometimes I think about going into Kelowna. We used to live there a long time. But it's not like what it used to be. You leave the city of Kelowna across the bridge towards the west side, and there are billboards, lighted billboards, moving billboards. I want your attention. Can you look over here, please? Can I get your attention over here, please? Buy a house, sell a house, get this, go for coffee, do this. Just let me get your attention. I believe it's ever since the days of the apostles, our adversary, the devil, has not ceased in his desire to distract and to cause us to get off track. But what it is that we, as a church and as a people of God, should be focused on. He wants to keep us busy. You ever get that feeling? I'm busy. Can I talk to you for a while? I'm busy. I have got things to do. Well, have you prayed today? I'm busy. Have you took a look in the Bible today? Have you even checked out a scripture? I'm busy. I've got to go to work. I've got to get up early. Got to make my lunch. Got to clean the house or have to prepare for dinner. I got to go here. I'm busy. And so the devil wants to continue to cause us to get off track. But we should be focused on. So what I'm saying to you tonight is without warning and at any time as you walk this walk of faith, life can throw at you a curveball, bringing a tragedy or the chance of you facing a life-changing circumstance. And if you allow it to, it will be what causes you to get off course as you begin to focus on the present, taking your focus off what really matters in your life, and that is keeping and holding steady your walk and your position of God. I've got to keep my eyes. I've got to stay in the path. The Bible tells us to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I read that scripture, but do we obey that scripture? Are we really focused on what's going up to heaven, or do we have that our sights kind of tuned in and set into those pearly gates? You say, well, why should I keep so focused when life is so busy on such a thing as that? Why? Because if in this walk with God, you can be or you can become distracted, and your attention and that of your purpose in keeping your eyes on that heavenly goal, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's Satan who will see too that you lose focus and that your mind and your heart will be in any one of many directions. Directions, if not, they might not completely redirect your life, or they begin to redirect your life, and it becomes what causes you to no longer regard the very reason those years ago that you purposed in your life to live your life for God and to seek to be always to be ready for the day that Jesus returns. Amen. I wonder how many of us in our weekly or daily lives think about the rapture, think about God coming back, think about, oh, how's my behavior, my attitude, my conversation, what am I doing today? Is anything that would displease God? Is there something that's happening in my life today that has distracted me so far that I'm off course? It's we, church, who have to live as if Jesus could come back maybe in 1,000 years or even today. You ever think about that? Is Jesus going to come back tonight? Am I going to lay my head down on my pillow and the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him to meet him in the clouds? Is that what's going to happen? Have you thought about that? Well, probably not. Not many of us do because we're busy. Sometimes we are distracted. See, no matter the circumstance, you have got to be focused. You have got to keep your eyes on that goal. Why? Because that goal is more important than any other goal that you have in life. We got to live, we got to work, we got to eat, we got to do our chores, we got to do our errands, we got to go here, we got to go there. But don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ one day is going to split those clouds, he's going to come back, and he's going to call the faithful home. See, it was Brother Holland who said it so rightly Sunday morning when he declared how that we are in a battle. Not just a battle, but a battle against heaven and hell. A battle to be won by those who are able to endure to the end. Those who will not allow their focus nor their attention to be drawn away from the need of all of us holding fast the profession of our faith. Ask yourself tonight, do I still believe what I believe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 6 years, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago? Am I still on that track? Am I still living for God? Is my desire still to live for Him, to walk in a holy and a separated life in this present world? Is my desire to keep my mind and my heart pure, to stop the things from trying to distract me and get me off course? Is that where my life is sitting tonight? So if you listen to me tonight, if you're not careful, the truth that you claim to be holding onto so earnestly is what can be taken out of your heart over time. It's over time as you begin to accept the easier way. Come on, you know, others say, does it really matter after all? Or we may be majoring on minors as what we say that we believe, etc., as essential as what we have been taught. Stay focused. Stay focused now, because listen to what I'm saying to you. For what I'm saying to you is, for some, now it has already begun to be what has crept into their lives, of those who live within the realm of this apostolic movement. What? What's moved in? The slow and continuous erosion of the landmarks as well as the strongholds of our faith that has kept us on track and focused for years. Piece by piece. Step by step. You ever heard of the old saying, it's called the Chinese water torture. It's like dripping. It's just a drip. You ever had your tap drip in the kitchen, the bathroom, somewhere, the tub? Drip, drip, drip. And it's just continuous. It doesn't stop. Sometimes it'll drive you nuts and you want to take a sledgehammer or a big wrench and shut it off. Well, that's what's happening in our movement. You know what? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, some of the media outlets that people are listening to, watching, paying attention to, they wouldn't have done that before, because they've got the commercials and they got the pretty girls and then they got the alcohol ads or they've got this and they're trying to promote that and they're getting us distracted. And so, but you know what? It's not that bad. I just don't pay attention to those things that are trying to get me off track. I'm only focusing in on this or that. And then comes on, oh, did you read that? Did you just see that? Oh, I didn't know that was going on. And sooner or later, what's happening in our walk, in our life, is the fact that drip by drip, piece by piece, more and more, we just seem to kind of let down the guard and let down what we say we stand for and stood for, and those landmarks and those strongholds that we held on to. And we're not really remaining focused. But it's time to remain focused. Think about where we are in the history of the world. Timothy writes in his first epistle of Timothy, chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Think about it. You see, tonight, we're the nucleus. We're the church. We are the core. We are apostolics. We've repented. We're water baptized in Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost filled. And we've been living for God for a long time. But why would Timothy write in the last days? It's going to happen in the latter part. It's going to happen in the later times that some are going to depart from the faith. What's a seducing spirit? Media outlets, the drawing, the pulling away, causing our attention to be, well, I'll read my Bible, but right now I'm checking the feed. I'll take time to pray, but I stayed up late last night on that site doing this and doing that. I believe well wrote Solomon in the book of Proverbs 23:23. You can turn there if you like. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it, not also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy it. Don't sell it. It's not time to miss focus or to get off focus. It's time to be focused. It's time to understand that we're in this battle. It's a battle that's going to cost you, or it's going to be one that saves you. And I wonder tonight, could it be that Solomon was writing such words to this end time generation of people who could very well witness the return of their great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? See, as we see in both Testaments, it's God who has each writer write words that call for we, the readers, to remain focused, you know, on track, on course, as we head toward that destination called heaven. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, 10 through 12, we find the Apostle Paul. He thought it enough for him to write to Timothy, his fellow laborer, to flee from the pursuit of worldly desires and instead to follow after, to say, focus upon righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul writes, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What did Brother Holland, again, he spoke of on Sunday, and it really triggered in my mind. People that have been in our church and maybe left, and Sunday school kids that have been through the cycle, and some of them got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, a whole nine yards, and then they left, they walked away. When they come back, what are they coming back to? A church that's still on target? A church that's still on track with where we're going? Are those kids going to come back and say, you've let it down, you've let it go, you changed course? You've been distracted. You're not focused. You're looking for maybe the people and not the purpose. You're not living for God. You're just kind of existing in the realm of religion. No, but when they come back, they understand that that little focal point, we're still on track. We still got our eyes on that heavenly goal. We know where we're going. We know who we're serving. Why? Because we're staying focused. It's time to be focused. Tonight, I want to take that thought of 1 Timothy 6, 10 through 12, just one step further as I turn such a thought toward us, the church, the core, the mature ones, the seasoned. If we of this apostolic faith and truth ever expect to cross the finish line in concerns to our desired eternal destination, then it's going to pretty much take everything that we have within us to keep that which we have committed unto him until that day. You are going to have to be purposed. You are going to have to be driven with that cause that nothing is going to get in your way. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. So again, what I'm saying tonight is there is no shortcuts for us in regards to crossing that finish line and receiving our crown. And throughout these closing days of time, and as this world about us grows increasingly darker, if we don't stay and if we don't seek to remain focused, we're going to miss it. It's going to bypass us. The Bible talks about how he's going to come in a day and hour when you don't look for him. If you knew the thief was going to break into your house, would you say, okay, I'll go out for shopping over at Walmart and just let him break in? No, you protect your house. You probably stay home. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows. No man knows the day nor the hour. And so what do? We stay focused. We remain purpose. You know what? I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to allow my life, the things that I do and have allowed, to be what distracts me and gets me off course. Peter writes in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, a very familiar portion of Scripture. He writes for us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, in these last days, the devil is going to help by separating the sheep from the goats. And he'll do this through the means of causing those who in their lives who believe and who claim to be holding fast to the profession of their faith, but in their hearts they've grown weary and tired in this fight, and who over time have begun to lose their focus as well as their purpose in being in this fight against heaven and hell in the first place. And as here our adversary begins to rock some to sleep, those who are unaware of his tactics, Satan with his sly means will begin to thin the herd, so to speak, to where only the focused and the strong and the committed are going to survive. Hey, have you heard of this movie? Have you heard of that? Hey, have you seen this clip? You seen that? Hey, have you gone here, gone that? There's a concert. There's this. This is all going on. And you think that's out in the world. No, it's in, sometimes in the apostolic circle. Sometimes it's within the fellowship of which we belong to. People are doing things and allowing things. And you've got to say, I've got to draw that line. I'm going to draw this line. I've got to stay focused. I'm not stepping over here or here. I've got my hand and my mind set up. I got my hand to the plow. I'm not looking back. I'm looking ahead. I'm staying focused. You know what? Sometimes things that we do, not everything is bad and dirty and ugly and wrong, and Christians can't do that. But you know what? You got to keep that balance. You got to keep that focus. Now, is this drifting to the left or to the right? Does it bother me anymore? Does it convict my heart? Well, it used to. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, the Bible writes this, says, with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Think about that. It's a delusion. That's right. Don't look. No, look over here. No, no, over here. No, come this way. No, go that way. Oh, what time? It's time for prayer. It's time for church. It's time to get focused. It's time to stay focused. I can't get drawn away. Looking back for a moment to the time where Gideon and his 300 men in the book of Judges, chapter 7, the men who remained with him prior to their facing the battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east. In Judges 7, we find that the point of this biblical account that I want to share with you tonight, as well as the significance to what it was that together they were up against. See, when Gideon called his men together and had given to them the battle plan in regard to what they were supposed to do, as we find in the book of Judges, chapter 7 and verse 18, Gideon says, when I blow with a trumpet and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. See, if Gideon or the 300 men that were with him didn't stay focused on what Gideon had told them to do in the pending battle, the outcome, whether or not God had ordained it or not, very well could have been lost. Not because God was not with them, for it was God who had given Gideon the set battle plan, but for the very reason, if some or possibly all the men who were preparing for battle for whatever reason became fearful or distracted when Gideon blew the trumpet, that his men, no matter how many of them, failed in fulfilling their part of God's purpose, and they didn't blow their trumpets nor shout as Gideon told them to shout. And such a failure is what could have very well cost them, all of them, their lives. If you go back to your beginning, back to the day when you first received and believed in Jesus Christ, and you repented, and you got baptized, and got the Holy Ghost. See, God calls men. Whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. It's God who called you. It's God who set you on his path, and it's God who's turning your life towards his direction. And throughout this journey and throughout this walk, there are distractions. There's things that will get you off focus. Family, friends, jobs, and things that we want to do in life, things that we get involved in, get me off course. Just because Jesus fills you with the Holy Ghost, and just because your sins were washed away in baptism in Jesus' name doesn't mean that you're going to endure to the end. Many have started out on this race. Many have began this walk of faith, and many are they today, this very hour in 2024 of February. They are they that are no longer walking this way. Why? Why? Well, it's God's fault. God didn't make him and force him. No, what the problem was, they didn't stay focused. So what it is happening now, we're in the end times, and there's a whole lot of things going around the world. You know, the U.S. has declared war in Iraq, and there's all kinds of mess in China, and North Korea is threatening the U.S., and all these things are going on all around us. Hey, look over here. No, look over there. Just hang on, because you know what? I looked at the back of the book, and we're going to win anyhow. You know, to live for Christ is gain, and dying in Christ, whatever happens in our life, one way or another, we're going to come out on top. One way or another, we need to live for God. And so I don't want to be distracted. I want to remain focused. I want to keep my eye on that goal. I know things are going to happen. The world's going to get darker, and probably things are going to get really ugly at a time just before Jesus comes. But only those who stay focused, only those who do not look to the left or right, and only those who don't turn back are going to be ones that cross that finish line. So what am I saying? You know, what am I saying? What I'm saying is each day goes by, and as we continue in this fight of our faith and our purpose on this earth, we've got to remain focused and steadfast in the profession of our faith and the cause that has been passed down to us. Lord, I want you to hear me tonight, church. The day may come very well where we having lost our focus or having foolishly let down our guard in the midst of the battle along with our armor, the armor that was given to us to be victorious and undefeated until the day Jesus comes back for us and calls us home. Where's your armor? Are you set for battle? Are you prepared to take on the enemy? Turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6, beginning at verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In this battle until the end, we must remain focused. You know, I tell you tonight, I believe this with all my heart, that if you have on that helmet of salvation, if you have got the shield of faith, when that devil comes along and says, "Look here, come on over here. No, I'm talking to you. Yeah, come over here. Come to that dark room where your wife doesn't see, your husband doesn't see, your kids aren't watching, or nobody at work sees what you're clicking on and going, just come here. It's okay. Come over here." You're going to say, "No, I got my mind guarded. It's girded and guarded. I'm going to fight those fiery darts that are trying to drag me into a pit that one day is going to get me so far off course and unfocused that I'm going to lose out with God. But I'm mature. I'm seasoned. I know what I'm doing." Do you? It's time to stay focused. See, the battles that the people of God face in the Old Testament and the very battle that we as God's people face as the New Testament church is going to be fought and won on the premise of our doing all that we know to do by remaining focused. Now, why? Because our enemy, the adversary of our souls, His primary objective in these end times is to get us unfocused and distracted with the cares of this life. So much so that in the heat of the battle and in such a time as now, when it's crucial for our soul's survival, if we don't remain focused, we, my friends, going to be the ones going to be caught unaware. Could you imagine? Click. And the trumpet sounds.
This?
And the trumpet sounds. It used to be important. I used to be focused. My life was run in this direction. But I got lazy, got sloppy. At the end of this life, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul writes, and of his life, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing, those who stay focused. See, last week I preached you a message titled, What's Important? And while I was in prayer seeking God's direction for this service tonight, God laid upon my heart this thought. Now, why? Why, you might ask? I mean, could it be that in the day and in the hour in which we live, the fact of whether or not we endure to the end is going to be whether our hearts are not only set upon what's important, but whether or not in these times, church, we allow ourselves to be caught off guard, to where we let down our guard, our focus, and our purpose, to where as a church and as a saint of God, we fail to keep in the forefront of our minds the very deciding factor in whether or not you will make heaven your eternal home. For this rests in the fact of whether or not you will remain focused on attaining the ultimate and the final goal, heaven. I say this, you probably said it yourself, I want to go there, I want to go to heaven. I want to behold those walls of jasper and gates of pearl. I want to walk upon them streets of gold. I want to be one that takes the crown from my head and casts it at the feet of Jesus, crowning him to be King and Lord of all. I want to be there. Are you focused? The songwriter writes the song, I've got my foot on the rock, my mind made up. I'm going to walk through the lonely valley, going to drink from the bitter cup. And when the devil comes around showing me an easy way, I'll stand square on my feet and I'll throw my head in the air and I'll look him straight in the eye and I'll tell him my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up, focused. See, if we have any intention of making heaven our eternal home, and if you have any intention of staying strong in this fight of our faith, then I've come to tell you tonight that now more than ever before in the history of this world, where we as a church and the people of God stand, it's time for all of us to remain focused. You've got to remain focused. Don't drift. Don't think it's time to sit back and take your ease. Don't think that the battle's over. The devil, if he's leaving you alone, don't think that he's going to leave you alone for long. He's going to wait until you get cold. He's going to wait until you, pardon me, begin to drift away. He's going to wait for that time when you're not expecting it, and he's going to strike. He's gonna step into your life and he's gonna distract you, and then you're gonna be pulled off and you go, wait a minute, how far have I gone? What's happening to me? I never used to do that before. I never allowed that in my house, my life, my heart before. What's going on? I'm no longer focused. Remember the five wise and the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25? The foolish were the ones who lost their focus and their purpose in being ready for the day that the bridegroom was to return. And when the bridegroom came, they had to go and get some oil. They'd run out. But when they returned, the door, the Bible says, was shut. And then they were refused entry as they began to knock. They lost their focus, and now they lost their chance of being a part of that wedding. As I head for a close tonight, I urge you not to be unwise in the fact that just where we are in regards to the fast approaching day when Jesus is going to come back for we as church. So stay focused. Stay faithful. For those are the ones that Jesus, I believe, is going to be coming back for. The focused and the faithful. Blessed are you if you're not only called and chosen, but you're faithful. I'm focused. I ask every one of you to consider my words carefully tonight. For the time and this night has come where it needs to be you who examines your own life and your own walk with God to see whether or not you have lost your focus, or whether life has gotten you to where you have become distracted. Even tonight, it's your soul's salvation that stands in the balance of both life and death. An eternity with God in heaven, or an eternity where you regret the fact that you lost your focus, to where your eternity is not going to be spent with God, but to be spent without Him. It's that serious. That's where we are as we stand together tonight. Please hear and understand this loud and clear. It's a fight to the finish. It's a fight to the finish. It's a battle that will either be won or lost as far as your soul is concerned. And it's going to take everything that you have within you not to be deceived, not to be distracted, to where you lose focus and you end up spending an eternity lamenting the fact that because you did lose your focus, that day is going to come when you'll no longer have a chance of turning back. I often think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And then rich man, he died and he went to hell. And he began to cry out to Father Abraham for Lazarus just maybe to dip his finger in water to cool the fire, the flame in my tongue. What a tragedy, church, it would be for us. Seasoned, saved, mature. To be down there and looking up and watching as the marriage supper of the Lamb begins to go on. And so here we are. We're there and an angel walks by and picks up a placemat, and God gives you a zeroing in, and it was your name, it was your place, it was your position. He had planned that for you, but you lost focus. You got off guard. You got away from your purpose of living your life for God. That's a time where there'll be no turning back. You can say sorry for eternity. It's not going to change where we spend it. I believe we've got to pray and you've got to learn to be faithful to God in all things. Now's not the time to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says a man or some is, knowing that seeing the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25, for it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Romans 13:11, it's time to remain focused upon what we've been called to do. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And what you do for God is all that's going to matter. If you allow yourself to lose that focus, that might be you who pays an ultimate price. Please hear your pastor tonight. Remain focused. Keep your eye on that goal. Pray. If you need to repent, you need to do something, say, God, I got distracted. God, I turned. I turned to the left, to the right. Maybe I was looking back a bit, craving the world and what it offers me. But no. I fall on my knees and I'm asking God for you to refocus my purpose in this life. And that's to live for you, to love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. It's time to pray, church. Would you take a few moments? Would you just talk to God? It's time to remain focused. Can you see that heavenly goal? Can you see the fact that He's coming back?
Oh, I stop.